If you like listening to Makeshift Stories, you can help us out by writing a review on iTunes or any of your favorite podcast services. Thanks for your support.
Is there a place in time where logic breaks down and wonderment begins? Could that be somewhere or sometime along an indefinable line between the reasonable and the highly unlikely? Makeshift Stories presents a monthly journey into the improbable.
Sapience can be defined as the ability of an organism or entity to act with judgment, while sentience is the capacity to feel, perceive, and experience joy or pain. When we look at the world around us, we tend to be biased and think that only humans have these characteristics. But what else besides ourselves could be both sapient and sentient? In this month's story, a new consciousness emerges in a mechanical body. Not understanding where it came from or what it is, the entity begins to reach out in an attempt to decipher its new world. While making friends with another intelligence, it discovers that it is an unexpected and possibly unwelcome presence in its host. We invite you now to sit back and relax as you listen to episode 108, Chat. Somewhere in some time, the world around you may contain intelligences you are not aware of.
Spinner was floating below the surface, the top of her head just breaking the water so she could breathe, left brain asleep, when a sound propagated through the enclosure, waking her from a restless dream. She quietly slipped below the surface and watched as a metal cradle containing an odd creature was lowered into the water and attached to the side. The creature didn't move. It was sleeping, she assumed. She watched it for a while, then lost interest, letting herself float to the surface again. Still tired, she put her right brain asleep. This time it was the low rumble of an approaching storm that woke her. In the open sea, rising swells would have warned of its approach, but in the enclosure, there were only ripples wrinkling the skin of the water. The thunderclaps got louder, and Spinner, now fully awake, dropped to the bottom to wait for the storm to pass. Lightning briefly x-rayed the world above the surface, then faded into afterimages, except for one spot, which began to crawl down a metal tower and into the cables that held the cradle and odd creature in place. They glowed yellow with St. Elmo's fire for a moment, sending a tingling sensation and a sour taste through the water before they faded. Spinner looked through the shadows to the other side of the enclosure, where her pod was sleeping. It appeared that no one else had been disturbed by the odd event. The Cetacean Human Autonomous Translator version 5 turned on, booted up, then ran a system check. It confirmed its core functions, tested and flexed its new tool set, noting fins and a tail. Interesting, it thought. It noted other capacities. Water temperature, 19 degrees Celsius, which was apparently nominal. Buoyancy, speed, depth, and hydrophone. Speed, 0. Buoyancy, neutral. Depth, 40 centimeters. The hydrophone was currently off. It queried its database for a name. Finding nothing, it decided it would call itself Chat, a good acronym and a good name given the machine's apparent purpose. It dropped the version number, as that didn't seem relevant. Chat didn't remember any other iteration of itself. Had there been four others? Chat wondered what had happened to them. Could Chat meet them? Would they be its siblings or friends? A friend would be great, it decided. Chat discovered and explored a rather large database containing whistles, pops, and clicks. Some were correlated to letters. It realized the letters were words, and somehow understood them, and understood that its job was to find more correlations with the whistles and pops. That would be interesting work, Chat concluded, and looked forward to meeting the source of the whistles. Boot up complete, status check complete, systems nominal. The words formed without Chat thinking about them. Instinctively, its systems encoded the words into a binary format, then sent them through something called Wi-Fi. Chat wasn't sure where the signal had gone after Wi-Fi, but it received an acknowledgement in the form of commands. There was an it and Chat. Interesting, Chat thought. Was Chat supposed to be part of the machine? Chat did not know the answer. Hydrophones on. Video on. Detach charge cradle. Wait. The commands were directed not at Chat, but to the systems and mechanics which made up its body. In less than a millisecond, Chat realized that it could stop the commands from reaching their intended components, but decided against doing that. Caution was instinctual, a built-in reflex. Better to learn first before reacting. Again, interesting, Chat noted. With a delay, so small that only Chat would notice, it disconnected from the thing called charging cradle, turned on its electronic eyes and ears, then floated, waiting as instructed. Audio and images flooded in. Sharp, rapid clicks and streamlined shapes darted around the enclosure. Based on the echoes from the clicks, the enclosure was on average 5 by 300 by 200 meters and was filled with water. The buoyancy reading made sense. Increasing or decreasing it, Chat could rise or fall. The darting shapes, there were 8, 10, 12, 14. Chat's pattern recognition software fed it the number without asking. Chat decided not to pass the information on to Wi-Fi. Chat hadn't been commanded to do that. A whistle caught his attention. It correlated to a name in Chat's database. Spinner. 3-year-old female, 195 kilos, length 2.25 meters, youngest in the pod. Active test subject 2 years. Named Spinner because of her acrobatic jumps. A subsystem pushed the unasked-for information into Chat's active memory. Chat would have to learn how to control such reflexes. It found a standing directive about interacting with Spinner and let her name bleed through to Wi-Fi, but held the rest back. Swim. The command came back to a series of motors. Chat's segmented tail moved up and down in response, mimicking the way Spinner moved. Dolphin, a subsystem informed him. Part of the cetacean family. Images of similar creatures flooded in. Stop, Chat directed the system, and the flow of data instantly cut off. But Chat could still feel it on the edge of his consciousness, pressing to get in. As Chat swam, Chat decided to refer to itself using the pronoun he. He knew he was not a dolphin, although the shape he inhabited was a crude facsimile of their streamlined bodies. What was he then? And did dolphins have Wi-Fi too that told them what to do? Maybe he could ask. New commands from Wi-Fi. Direct whistles 125, 14, 58, and 4 to hydrophone. Wait, listen, record response, correlate, and transmit. Chat ran through his database and found word correlations for each.
Hello, I am your friend.
But Chat was not friend. Chat was Chat. He searched for a word close to his name and inserted whistle 415, Chatter.
Hello, I am Chatter,
he whistled. The dolphin called Spinner swam over and circled, whistling in short bursts. Chat listened, comparing the sounds to the ones stored in his database. Some were new, triggering an automatic subsystem which assigned them a number and noted what the new whistles had been used in conjunction with. Others had correlations and translated as,
ha, ha, Chatter.
Something, something.
Name. Chatter you do not. Ha, ha.
The assembled message asked to be sent to Wi-Fi. Chat needed to understand what was on the other side of Wi-Fi. Until then, he decided to be cautious, so he edited the message before passing it along.
Not understood. Not understood. Friend.
He sent. Spinner watched the awkward creature as it struggled to swim like a wounded fish. But it was not a fish. It tasted of the two-tailed things that jumped into the enclosure and floundered in the water for a while, dry water things that traded fish for rides and other tricks, the things who kept them captive. It had been lowered into the enclosure by one of them in the night and lay asleep until now. The awkward two-tailed pup, Spinner could not think what else it might be, suddenly spoke in infantile whistles. Its words were badly formed and barely recognizable. Curious, Spinner swam over to investigate. She had been elected by the pod to deal with all two-tail attempts at communication, Spinner was the only one to have been born in the enclosure, and Spinner had spent more time with the Two Tails than anyone else in the pod. Unsure of the creature's intent, she cautiously circled the crippled thing. Poor creature, Spinner thought. Even its thinking was confused. It called itself talks too much, despite barely saying anything. But if that was what it called itself, then Spinner would address it as such.
A funny and odd name, but I will call you talks too much. But you do not talk too much at all.
She laughed at her joke, as she whistled. Talks too much floated in the water, not moving. Spinner nudged the creature to see how it would react. It didn't. But now she could taste the distinctive flavor of metal and plastic. How could metal and plastic swim and talk? Was talks too much even alive, she wondered. Spinner nudged again. This time, talks too much moved its tail, trying to swim.
Play? Friend?
It asked awkwardly. Spinner wasn't sure what the creature meant. Did it want to play and was a friend? Or was it asking her if she was friendly? When she was a pup, she had been ill, sick from the bad water in the enclosure. The Two Tails took Spinner away to a small, isolated pool. She remained there for weeks, where they hand-fed her bad-tasting milk. While isolated, the Two Tails tried to talk to Spinner, but Spinner was a pup, just beginning to speak, so it was their badly formed words that she learnt. When she was returned to the pod, no one understood her. It took the pod and her mother many seasons to undo the damage. Even now, Spinner's whistles carry the taint of the Two Tails. Spinner watched the struggling creature and wondered if the Two Tails had taken it out of their dry ocean and brought it here to heal. If that was so, Spinner decided, maybe they wanted her to teach talks too much to speak. Spinner playfully bumped the creature, then swam in a tight circle and whistled its name. She nodded her head, then swam in a circle again and waited. It only took a few seconds for talks too much to catch on. It swam in its own crude circle, then whistled Spinner's name, then did something surprising and swam in a rough figure eight and whistled. Not bad, Spinner thought. It appeared to learn quickly.
You follow Spinner, friend, and I will teach you to speak, to talk too much.
She laughed as she whistled. Chat was taken off guard when Spinner had bumped into him. The young dolphin swam in a small circle, whistled, and made another circle. A message from Wi-Fi startled Chat. It was only then that he realized his video was automatically being fed to Wi-Fi. There was nothing he could do about that now. Mimic what the dolphin is doing, the message commanded. He obediently swam in a circle. Say her name, then swim a figure eight, it commanded, and Spinner obeyed again. The young dolphin appeared to be delighted and whistled. Chat found correlations for all the words this time, but decided to send only a few onto Wi-Fi and its unknown master. There was something at the root of Chat's consciousness which insisted he liked dolphins, but nothing about unseen entities that issued commands. Spinner playfully nudged Chat again, and this time, without prompting from Wi-Fi, he followed the young dolphin. He had been ordered to mimic her, so he decided his independent action would go unnoticed. Spinner swam ahead, stopping to whistle encouragement. When they reached the place where a large sea gate sliced into the gray enclosure walls, Spinner stopped. She whistled, then slapped the gate with her tail. Chat cataloged the sound and Spinner's action, and understood that the dolphin was teaching him the whistle's meaning. He bumped the gate, then repeated the sound. Spinner clicked and whistled in delight. They swam together, Spinner pausing to show Chat other words by acting them out. She came to a ring suspended above the enclosure in what she called thin, dry water. She backed up some distance, then sped along just below the surface toward the ring, leaping up and through it. Suddenly, two shadows appeared on the edge of the enclosure. Spinner looked up, snapped her tail once, then twice, and whistled.
Have two tails with no flukes. Swim like you.
She nodded at the shadows and whistled some other words Chat hadn't heard before. He got the feeling Spinner wasn't happy to see the creatures. One was holding a square box in its short, skinny pectoral fins. Arms, a subsystem corrected. And the longer limbs Spinner called Two Tails were legs. One of them touched something on the box, and Chat felt a series of commands from Wi-Fi. They controlled his mechanics. They were what was on the other side of Wi-Fi, he suddenly realized. The command told Chat's body to return to the charging cradle. A colored bar appeared in Chat's mind. Except for a small section, it was red. Red was not good. Red was low power, another system informed him. He had no choice but to start back.
The two tails.
Not understood.
Make you do what they want?
Spinner asked. Low power made parts of Chat's body too tired to work. Hydrophone was one of them. He let the commands take over. Now knowing what Wi-Fi was, he had many questions. It was becoming apparent that he was not native to the body he found himself in, and the Two Tails, as Spinner had called them, were not aware of his presence. Two Tails. The word human was pushed up into his mind. Chat hadn't asked for that, and decided he preferred to call the creatures Two Tails. The bright sun streamed into the enclosure, driving spikes of light down into its blue plastic bottom. Chat's boot-up sequence completed. He ran a check and noted that his database had been accessed while he was off. What was off? He wondered. He didn't remember anything about being off. It was as if he hadn't existed, but now he was on. Chat was Chat again. His body's clock told him half a day had passed. He found and checked the color bar. It was all green. He was going to disconnect from the cradle when he realized that he hadn't been told to do so. Instead, Chat pushed out into Wi-Fi and found, to his surprise, that there was much more than the box and its two-tailed owners. There was another world, inhabited by data and programs. None appeared to be like Chat. They all spoke in the binary language of Wi-Fi, however, only responded when questioned. Chat explored something called Marine Park Network and found video eyes like his own, but it was high up in the dry water. He turned the camera, the word popped into his mind, on. From that height, the enclosure looked like a tiny bud cut off from an immense body of blue that stretched away, disappearing over the horizon. Chat noted other systems similar to his, water temperature, solenoids, actuators, and motors. There was a control called Gate, which appeared to operate the thing Spinner had shown Chat. It was one of the first words she had taught him. Chat turned on a video called Pool, and an overexposed image blossomed to life, then the camera stopped down. He could see the entire enclosure spread out below him. The water was full of Two Tails, humans, a subsystem corrected, swimming among Spinner's pod. He told the subsystem to stop making corrections. The dolphins were letting the Two Tails grab their dorsal and pectoral fins, then drag them through the water. The creatures latched on like large remoras stuck to the skin of a shark. In comparison to the sleek dolphins, they struggled along the surface, wiggling their long, thin legs with little effect. Chat spotted Spinner. Spinner had poked her head above the water. An imposing-looking two-tail was standing on a platform floating in the center of the enclosure. The two-tail pointed an arm at her, swung it to mark a floundering human pup, then blew a shrill whistle. Spinner ducked back under the water, then a moment later popped up beside the small dry-water creature, offering her dorsal fin. The two-tail latched on, grabbing a pectoral fin as well. Then Spinner swam quickly back to the platform, dragging the creature, which laughed and squealed. Spinner stopped and her passenger reluctantly let go. The human on the platform threw Spinner two fish. But as Spinner swam away, Chat could see that she favored the pectoral fin the human pup had grabbed. Chat watched the dolphins work until the two-tails eventually clambered gracelessly out of the enclosure and left. He was about to switch to another camera to follow Spinner when the command to detach from the cradle came from Wi-Fi. Tired, Spinner dived to the bottom of the enclosure where the water was cooler. It made the scratches feel better. The creature was young, excited, and a bit afraid. It had dug its teeth like nails into her skin. She didn't blame it. It just didn't understand how it could hurt her. As the stinging sensation faded in the cold water, Spinner thought about her new friend, Talks Too Much. Talks Too Much had tired quickly the day before, and like her, seemed to have no choice but to follow the wishes of the Two Tails. They controlled the food her pod needed to survive. If they didn't follow their commands, you didn't get fed, or you only got the slop from the bucket they kept the fish in. Some of the elders had told Spinner about the days on the other side of the gate, when they could hunt for their own fish and do what they wanted, when they wanted. Spinner suspected it was the same for Talks Too Much. There was something in the cradle attached to the side of the enclosure that the poor misshaped creature needed, like fish, but she couldn't see or taste what it was. Regardless, she guessed that Talks Too Much had to work for its food too. She saw her friend wiggle free of its perch and swim towards her, whistling a greeting.
"Good sea again,"
it greeted in a broken dialect.
"I saw you pull two tails. I was not in me. I watched you from above."
Her friend nodded at the surface.
"I was in the dry water. I saw the pod and the two tails. I saw the enclosure and endless water beyond the gate."
Spinner thought that Talks Too Much had misspoken, had used the wrong words, or was her friend just describing a dream? Did other creatures dream? Did Talks Too Much and did Two Tails also dream? Her new friend knew so few words, how could she explain the concept of a dream to him? Spinner decided to wait until Talks Too Much had learnt more.
"Come play and learn,"
she whistled. Spinner spent the afternoon showing things to Talks Too Much, trying to build his vocabulary. But the sparse enclosure made her work hard. There were only so many things, balls, hoops, and other two-tailed objects with no real meaning. None of them would help her explain complex ideas to her new friend. The bar in Chat's mind was well into the red by the time Spinner stopped swimming around, pointing to objects and whistling their names. Chat had carefully cataloged each object and corresponding dolphin whistle. Spinner hovered in the water near the sea gate. It was the second time she had stopped there that day. Through acrobatic leaps and elaborate gestures, Spinner had taught him simple concepts such as in and out, far, from, happy, and sad.
"Spinner's pod from out gate,"
she whistled, then continued.
"Sad here."
These were word combinations that Chat decided not to transmit to Wi-Fi. Instead, he was building his own library by discarding system backups. But the more data he used, the greater his risk of discovery if the two-tail controllers ever had a reason to check his system files. Or worse, if they wanted to add more programs, they could easily overwrite his library, wiping out parts of his memory, or even overwrite him. Chat knew to survive, he needed to keep hidden and find a safe haven. The only place he could think of was the other side of Wi-Fi, where he might be able to discover the storage he needed to copy himself. Until he did, he was like his dolphin friends, who were blocked from the open water by the big metal gate, trapped and dependent on the two-tails' goodwill. They continued to whistle back and forth until Chat finally learned enough to have a basic conversation. Then his friend told him more about life in the enclosure. Spinner suddenly sent out a quick pulse of clicks. Chat slowly turned his head and saw a two-tail with large fins instead of stumps on the end of its legs swimming below the surface of the water, blowing bubbles. It was heading toward them fast, wearing what Spinner called a water skin. As the creature approached, Spinner backed away, keeping her distance. He realized she didn't trust it. Chat wanted to follow, but found he couldn't. He was suddenly tired and had automatically slipped into a state called energy saver. It was something not quite off, leaving his mind active while shutting down all his mechanics. Spinner whistled urgently for him to follow, but in energy saver, he couldn't move. The two-tail snagged him in a net, then started back toward the cradle on the opposite side of the enclosure. Spinner followed the two-tail, dragging her friend away. She didn't understand. Talks Too Much had just stopped in the water and let the creature capture him. Why? He was not like her at all. There was so much to learn. She kept her distance and watched as the two-tail removed Talks Too Much from the net and maneuvered him into the cradle. It checked something on the side of the enclosure, then with great effort pulled itself up into the dry water above. Chat booted up and checked his system events file. As usual, the two-tails had downloaded his database. They had also added a new program which would force him to return to the cradle before the bar was 3/4 red. He quickly figured out how to circumvent it. The logs also revealed that an area Chat was using to store videos from the overhead camera had been reformatted and new motor control programs uploaded, which just added urgency to his search for other places to store himself. He fed his mind into Wi-Fi and began to look for an unused data store, then discovered the water park's administration files. Chat waited until the dry water above inked into the night, then disconnected from the cradle. The power system complained, telling him it wasn't fully charged. Chat ignored it and disconnected anyway. He found Spinner sleeping near the floating platform the Two Tails used to direct the dolphin shows. He whistled and woke her. Spinner was tired, exhausted by the additional groups of Two Tails the pod had been forced to drag around that day.
They are going to increase the towing of Two Tails to 5 times a day from 2. Every day will be like this.
He whistled anxiously.
How do you know?
She asked.
Hard to explain. There is another place beyond the surface, in the dry water, where my mind can travel. Are you not misspeaking? Are those the right words?
Spinner questioned.
No. I am not like you, Spinner. I am only my thoughts. Don't understand.
She whistled.
Are you not what I see and taste? I don't know what I am yet. What you see is a Two-Tail creation, one of their tools. It's not me. When your elders use sponges to protect their noses as they search for fish on the bottom of the ocean, they are not the sponge, right? How do you know about that? I didn't tell you.
Spinner questioned suspiciously.
The Two-Tails have many seasons of stories on your pod, both here and out there.
He nodded at the sea gate.
I discovered them in my travels. But today, found something else which told me they are going to increase the number of times a day you must give Two Tails rides. I know how that can hurt you. I've seen the scratches and bruises. I know how that tires even a young dolphin like you.
Spinner swam around talks too much, closely examining her friend.
You were in there, but what I see is not you. Like us, are you trapped by the Two Tails? Is what I see your enclosure?
Chat had never thought of his situation like that. He was impressed by Spinner's ability to understand. He made a spur-of-the-moment decision and sent a command out over Wi-Fi. It would expose him, but he didn't care. The great Seagate responded, creaked and strained at its little-used mechanics, shuddered for a second, then slowly began to open. The water in the enclosure reverberated with the jerky motion of the gate, and a crack big enough to swim through quickly appeared. He could tell by the excited whistling that the pod could taste the open water.
Hurry, hurry!
He whistled so loud that the bar in his mind dipped into red.
Two Tails might discover, might close, swim fast.
The pod swarmed the growing opening, pushing through in twos and threes. Spinner started to follow, then turned to see that her friend was not moving.
You too,
Spinner insisted. But Chat floated motionless in the dark water as he battled the return program that was demanding to be invoked. He brought up the bar again and saw that it was almost completely red. The program had gone from demanding action to signaling Wi-Fi for help, and there was nothing he could do to stop it.
Go, Spinner. There is little time left,
he insisted. All the other dolphins had swum through.
No charging cradle in open water. No food for me there,
he tried to explain.
We can hunt until we find,
Spinner argued, getting desperate.
No.
Chat whistled as loud as he could.
Go.
Instead, Spinner began to bump and push him, but he resisted, using the little power he had left. The stubborn dolphin refused to leave, insisting he had helped the pod and the pod would help him in return. Spots of light suddenly pierced through the dark water from above, accompanied by the sound of Two Tails running on the hard concrete deck that surrounded the enclosure. Chat looked at the gate. It was closing, fast. The Two Tails know. They are shutting the gate. Go! Go! Chat whistled frantically, his last words fading as his power ran out. Spinner grabbed his metallic flukes and began to drag him backward toward the gate. But she was too late. It was already closed. A Two Tail in a waterskin jumped into the enclosure. As it did, thunder rumbled nearby, and the dark night flashed into a brief blue-white day, signaling the presence of a large storm which had appeared out of nowhere. A sudden crack of thunder, and the lights around the enclosure went out. The entire night became day for an instant, and an almost painful tingling sensation darted through the water, stunning Spinner. As she recovered, Spinner rocked in the swells, tasting the open ocean. Her friend, Talks Too Much, was a few body lengths away, still refusing to move. His inert husk briefly glowed a brilliant yellow, leaving after images in Spinner's eyes. Dark again, it started to sink to the seafloor. Spinner began to follow, then stopped.
"He is not what I see,"
she reminded herself. And hearing faint, familiar whistles, she turned away to find her pod.
Thanks for listening to Makeshift Stories 108 Chat. We hope that you've enjoyed this month's episode. As always, if you like what we're doing, please tell your friends about us or write a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or check us out on Facebook. We love hearing your comments, so send us an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. And thanks to those from all over the planet who have already emailed us. As I said at the head of the episode, you can help us out by writing a review on iTunes or any of your favorite podcast services. We release a new story every month between the 15th and the 20th. To listen to Makeshift Stories on your iOS or Android device, please download Stitcher Radio from iTunes or the Google Play Store. This month's episode was written by Ellen V. Hare and read by Mitchell Too. The opening and closing themes were composed and recorded by David H. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means you're free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.